Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey Podcast, episode 2 to the 7th. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
You thought you'd throw me off on that, but I know that that means that it's episode 51.
Nice, dude.
Thank you.
Math major.
That's right. Using that theater education to my benefit, dude.
Good for you, dude.
Dude, it's raining here.
It's the holiday edition of the podcast.
You know, the holiday edition. A supersized podcast, perhaps a little bit extra beefy.
It might be.
Because there will not be a podcast for 2 weeks, dude. We'll be going on vacation, our Mecca to New York, where we'll be seeing the Rangers Islanders at the Garden.
Yes.
Very excited about that.
Yes.
We'll be wandering around the NHL store looking for our friend EJ Raddick.
Right.
Maybe. If they're even going to be live or EJ's going to be in studio. You never know.
He'll probably just call security once he sees us.
It's those guys from California again. Security.
Get him out of here. No, don't.
They're going to come, said Deb Placey, to kick us out.
Yeah, they could.
Listen, you guys, get out of here. It's Deb Placey.
She's the enforcer.
At the game tonight, it took forever to get out of the parking lot, dude.
Yeah.
I was with my parents and my lovely wife who sang the anthem tonight.
Yes, she was really good.
Very exciting. It never gets old sitting in the penalty box, just where I get to sit, you know, before she sings. And I still, every time I'm down there, I always, for some reason, am surprised at how big Danny Heatley is. He's really big.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's funny. Like, he kind of messes with the crowd during warmups and throws pucks over the glass. And I don't think he really likes warming up very much.
Douglas Murray's coming to town.
But my dad has a little tradition, dude. On the way home, he always stops at Queen's Donut.
Where's that?
Queen's Donut. It's by my parents' house.
Huh.
We stopped. We had a little donut, dude. So I would be remiss if I didn't bring you a present, dude.
You brought me a donut? Dude.
Dude, Merry Christmas.
Dude, thanks, dude.
That's right.
This is the best thing you ever got me. Thanks, dude.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
So enjoy. Enjoy live on the air.
Chocolate old fashioned.
Chocolate old fashioned just for you, dude.
Thanks, dude.
Well, very quietly, dude, the Sharks have kind of got their act together, would you say?
Who cares? Chocolate donut.
Dude, the Sharks have won 3 in a row. They're 6-3-1 in their last 10. There have been some pretty disappointing performances mixed in there, like the loss to Nashville, which you know we'll talk about a little bit tonight. But since that loss in Nashville, they went in and beat Dallas in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
They went and they beat Edmonton tonight.
Mm-hmm. And they beat St. Louis.
And they beat St. Louis convincingly over the weekend, and albeit a short-manned St. Louis team.
Yeah, yeah.
That seemed like every time we'd hit them, a new guy was leaving the ice.
I know.
Like, they just kind of got their clocks cleaned by us, especially the last three games. I've started to feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I got to say, I mean, it's early. Our listeners calmed us down. They say it's early in the season. You know, things could still turn around. I'm starting to believe it a little bit, because I know we were both a little rattled over the past month.
Well,
or
sure.
So.
I don't think we were alone. I think a lot of people have been really rattled. And certainly, you know, we know how streaky this game is, and that, you know, the Sharks could very easily have a cold patch coming up. And I'm sure that they will. But I think we've been looking for this consistent level of play, of just maybe general interest from them, which has not necessarily been the case this year. And they've been able to put that together now for three straight games, you know, beating Dallas, which is, I think, their right now their biggest competition in the Pacific, because LA has kind of petered off a little bit.
They really have.
You know, I'm sure Marco Sturm is going to give them a big jolt. A jolt of German energy.
Yes, exactly.
And techno music. This is the part where we dance. So it was good to see them go in and pull off that victory, dude. Should we start with tonight's game?
Yeah. I mean, I was hoping that we would just crush Edmonton. And they jumped out to a 2-0 lead. I thought they really dominated in the first period, which didn't really show up on the shot clock or the shot counter. And there's only 10 combined shots in the first period, but it was relatively entertaining, and the Sharks really carried the play for good stretches of the first period. I was happy with that. Sharks scored 2 in the second. Can't be disappointed in that. And in the third, I thought the Sharks played pretty well in trying to hold the lead. Edmonton pulled their goalie late in the game, and they got one back off a deflection, bunch of traffic in front. Not really you can do much about that. And then they held on to win 2-1. So maybe we would have liked to see them win in a more convincing fashion. But you know what? I don't care. It's, you know, they got some pretty dangerous players. The Taylor Hall line was clearly the best line for Edmonton tonight. Every time there seemed to be a good scoring chance from Edmonton, it was that line. And, you know, they definitely have some dangerous players. So
I didn't think they were that bad. I was surprised at, I thought for a 2-1 game against one of the, you know, lower ranked teams in the NHL, you might be disappointed. I actually wasn't that disappointed. Mm-hmm. I thought they played hard tonight. That Edmonton was scrappy. Edmonton is 6-3-1 in their last 10 also. I mean, they've mm-hmm. been playing well, been trending upward after a really lousy start. Tom Rennie seems to kind of have those guys bought in to playing that style and working hard, and seems to have the right kind of cast of characters there. I was sitting behind the net tonight, and I watched Taylor Hall, you know, attack our net mm-hmm. in 2 of the periods. And honestly, dude, I wasn't that impressed.
Really?
I thought he was lazy. I thought he would stand. He was extremely perimeter oriented and would kind of go out of the way to avoid contact. He was like a not very good Patrick Kane to me.
Wow.
I just didn't think that there was the one play where he crashed the net and came in and kind of threw an off-angle shot at Nidamaki, but I didn't see what you saw tonight. I kind of...
Really? I saw some skill. I definitely saw a little bit missing in judgment, especially stick handling. A few times he would sort of break or get the puck near the middle of the ice, and then he would sort of try to stick handle through 2 defensive sticks, and it's like, dude, that's not going to work in the NHL.
Right.
It's like...
Sure, and that's going to happen.
There's only one Pavel Datsyuk, you know what right. I mean? And he's just... You're not going to be able to pull that off with Dan Boyle and Marc-Edouard Vlasic stick in front of you. And he tried that a couple of times. And each time I thought that, I said, wow, you know, that is an awfully ambitious move. I mean, that... How could you honestly expect that's really going to happen? So, you know, he's got to sort of figure out this program, I think, and understand, like, what kind of things he can do and can't do. I saw some decent puck handling skill. I saw some good skating. Not necessarily. I wouldn't say I really paid attention to whether he was being responsible or not, whether he was taking punishment or not. So it looks like that was sort of the stuff that you noticed. But I was just looking sort of as an individual skill set.
Right.
Pretty impressed. He didn't sure. seem to be slower than the game was.
But if you look at, like, the difference between our rookie, Logan Couture, and yeah. their rookie,
right.
like, Logan Couture is always in the tough areas of the
yes,
ice.
Yes.
He's in the middle of the ice. He's in the corners. He's digging pucks out. He's doing the hard work. And Taylor Hall, I didn't really see him bring his lunch pail tonight. He seemed to have his Lunchable, you know?
Yeah.
He wasn't really interested in getting his hands dirty. And I'm wondering how much longer. I mean, I wondered why he was out there for a couple of shifts with Zach Stortini and Jacques, because yeah. Rennie's probably not really that happy with some of his right. work ethics. So mm-hmm. Taylor Hall potentially going to be a very good player in this league, but right now, you know, he got hammered a couple times by Dan Boyle, who,
yeah.
you know, we're never going to fault Dan Boyle's effort, but it's not like he's going to go crunching people up against the glass. And there was one time where Taylor Hall just got completely taken out of the play by Dan Boyle.
I remember that. Yeah.
And it was like, come on, man. Like, and he didn't even try and fight through the check. He just kind of took it.
Right.
You know, and that's not going to cut it down the road for Taylor Hall.
Wow. And, you know what? I actually had to check the box score to see if Jordan Eberle actually played. Honestly, yeah, I did not notice him at all.
He didn't leave a huge impression tonight. He didn't leave a huge impression.
Yeah.
A couple other things I took from this game, dude. 2 things about the defense. One is the Boyle-Vlasic pairing.
Mm.
That's working for me.
It's working for me, too.
I think it looks good. They seem to support each other well. And Boyle seems to bring out the best in Vlasic in terms of freeing up his game. He just seems so much more comfortable out there and has been playing a lot better during this upswing. You know, there's probably no coincidence that Vlasic's playing better and the Sharks are playing better, dude.
Right. Yeah, that's not a coincidence at all.
The other thing is Justin Braun, dude. Justin Braun tonight got completely tormented by Dustin Penner. And I saw it a lot because I was behind the net and I could see how Penner just... Also, a guy who... The kind of the knock on him, right, is that he's huge, but he doesn't really use his size. Well, he bullied Justin Braun around pretty good tonight. And watching that, I went, geez, you know what? Maybe this kid isn't ready to stick. When Douglas Murray comes back, I've been sort of championing him to be the one to stay in the lineup. I don't know.
No, you're not so sure.
I'm not so sure. Like, down the stretch, unless he's able to kind of pick up that end of the, of his game, he got used a couple times pretty badly in his own zone tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a rookie. That's what you expect.
Sure, and you're going to take your lumps, but... Are we really in the lump-taking business right now? You
no,
know,
no.
Probably not.
Well, we were in the lump-giving business against St. Louis over the weekend, that's for sure.
Amen.
That was, you know, we saw some guys get knocked out. We saw Steen, Koliakovo.
Dave Scatcherd, who I didn't even think was in the league anymore.
Yeah.
Grandpa Dave Scatcherd.
Yeah. All of them left the ice at one point or another to deal with some sort of a health issue. Of course, you know... Blues are pretty decimated by injuries. David Perron still isn't back after the hit that Thornton put on him. They booed Thornton a lot every time he touched the puck. There's a little bit of controversy surrounding that, which I'll get to in a minute. But I think the Sharks sort of took advantage of the fact that they didn't have Andy McDonald. They didn't have... There's another big name that they didn't have that I'm trying to remember.
They didn't have Alex Pietrangelo.
Yes. Was that it?
Yeah, and they also didn't have... someone else, one of their defensemen, Roman Polak.
That's right.
So they were down some substantial players,
that's a major talent.
Still, you know, when you look at this game, and certainly the St. Louis media took it this way, this should have been maybe a little bit more of an emotional game for St. Louis. Like, they knocked out Perron, you know, they should have got some revenge against the Sharks. There was negatory of that.
Yeah. Other than the booing by the crowd, there really wasn't any, nobody took a run at Joe. And Kelly Chase, who I think is the color guy for St. Louis, sort of came out in the media and said that they should have gone after him.
There was some fighting here. We had a fight between Klo and Crombean, Porter and Nickel, Winchester and Maris. You know, those guys all kind of tangled up. But I didn't really get the feeling that it was all about the bad blood that happened.
And the Blues are the most penalized team in the NHL anyway. It's not like this was really out of character for them.
Sure.
So, yeah, it was, I think it's good for us. It was good for the Sharks because I think they really sort of, they took advantage of the Blues. It was 3-0 at one point. It was a good road win. I have nothing bad to say about the game against the Blues. They took advantage of a team that had some good players hurt and they rolled to the win. Too bad they didn't get the shutout for Ninamaki because I thought he probably deserved a Saturday night. I thought he deserved it tonight. It's too bad that that one late goal got in. But they're riding the hot hand with Ninamaki because he beat Dallas last week as well. So Ninamaki is now the new goalie. So
I don't think they'll ever be a number one this year. You know, it's going to be the flavor of the week. And right now, it's Ninamaki. Niemi stumbled in Nashville and lost his opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the way it's going to go. You know, and Ninamaki tonight, I was a little disappointed as I walked out. He didn't get first, second, or third star. And I thought he certainly deserved to be at least the third star tonight.
Yeah.
He made some really tough, good saves.
Yeah.
Edmonton had some good opportunities. Ninamaki was tough the whole time they got that goal at the end, which was a very, you know, you wouldn't fault him on that. He certainly made the easy and the more difficult saves tonight. So a good effort, dude, a good effort. How about the Dallas game?
Dallas, it was good to beat Dallas. And Dallas, again, it's not something I can complain about because it was an away game against the best, well, by record, the best team in the Pacific Division. And the Sharks, you know, took a little revenge for the loss that they took at the Sharks' hand, at Dallas's hand. So happy with that. Logan Couture, again, strong in that game. The guy is just on a tear. So
Setoguchi, 2 goals in that game. Pavelski woke up in that game with two assists. And then the highlight for me was our favorite guy, Mike Ribeiro, taking the high stick.
Yeah.
Then he hit Heatley right across the face with 50 seconds left in the game, and he cost them the game.
Yeah, basically.
He totally blew it and cost them the game after they had come back and tied it. He blew it. Now you've got a 4-on-3, and Logan Couture didn't really waste much time in overtime getting that power play goal from Danny Boyle. Good win by the Sharks.
That's
a game you got to win. And Mike Ribeiro, you hang your head in shame. And next time you dive on the ice, you think of us.
Yeah, think of
you
us.
You think of us.
Dude. I'm sure he will.
Dude, do we even need to talk about the Nashville game, dude?
No, not really.
Okay.
It was just really...
Should we forget that even happened?
I think we can.
All right, let's erase all memory of it.
Yeah. Although I did learn something new about Marcel Gotch in that game.
What did you
He's learn? The highest drafted German player ever.
Really?
Did you know that?
No.
I did not know that either. So I learned that during the Nashville game.
That makes the whole podcast worth
it. It's worth it. Everybody learned some today.
Dude, I want to throw something out here, dude.
Okay.
I'm a hockey addict.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem. I realize that.
But your problem is our benefit, dude.
Okay, I'm going to play a little game with you here.
Kay.
Ready? You know you're a hockey addict when you watched NHL Game Center today on your PlayStation 3.
Okay. Instead of actually playing video games.
Okay. You know you're a hockey addict when you ordered HBO specifically to watch the Pens Capitals 24/7 New Year's Day classic documentary.
Mm-hmm. We got to talk about that in a minute.
You know you're a hockey addict when you ordered the sports package at your mother-in-law's over the weekend so that you could watch the St. Louis Blues San Jose Sharks game. And then I didn't even cancel it. I'm letting it go so I can watch it.
You're going to make her pay for it ongoing?
She doesn't know that, dude.
That's good. That's good.
Well, unless someone tells her.
Okay.
She loves the Sharks, actually. She watched the game tonight.
Well, good.
Dude, so how's that for evidence?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, dude.
How about that HBO series?
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
It is so good. If you have HBO, you should watch it. If you don't have HBO, you should be like Doug and order it just to watch this. Because I love all HBO sports shows. I watch that. Smarmy Bryant Gumbel on the Real Sports Show.
He is smarmy.
Very, very. Oh, man, is that boy pretentious. Anyway, I watch Hard Knocks, even though I'm not really a football fan. I watched they had a Vince Lombardi documentary over the last week or two. I've watched that. I've watched, you know, a couple times. So everything HBO does on sports is awesome to begin with. And now they have unprecedented access to the locker rooms of the Washington Capitals and the Pittsburgh Penguins. It is just an amazing inside look at hockey. It is awesome. You have to watch it. I've watched it twice. It's brilliant. It's awesome.
It's brilliant. I love Bruce Boudreau. I love his colorful vocabulary.
not varied, just colorful.
Oh, it's so great. It's just real. It's real and raw, and there's definitely no one's putting on anything. I love when Pascal Dupuis walks into the locker room and Malkin starts like says something to him and Dupuis just told him to F off. You remember that?
Yeah.
F you, Gino. He says to him as he walks in that. I mean, that stuff just made me laugh, dude. There's
a little something even for Sharks fans, old Sharks fans. They had some moments with Scott Hannon.
Yeah.
Because he had just been traded to the Capitals. And I thought that was cool.
Looking for a house. I mean, they were looking at it from the on the ice and the players' lives. You know, they got in and got involved. A kid who got called up. Jeffries for the Penguins. Pascal Dupuis at home. Maxime Talbot, who seems like quite the character.
I can see why he's a major fan favorite in Pittsburgh.
At the Penguins Christmas party.
Yeah, he whispers in Santa's ears, like, I want your two helpers
for Christmas. Yeah, these two cheerleaders who are helping him out.
Yeah, that's...
Dude, it's a good stuff. If we're not enough of an advertisement for the show, you should all jump on the bandwagon and order HBO for 3 weeks.
I mean, if HBO wants to pay us to say these things, that's fine with me, but we're not actually getting paid.
I think Sharks Page had a link to the show that was on YouTube. I'm not sure how much longer that's gonna be up, but
I'm sure HBO patrols that kind of thing.
So if you can watch it, you can go to sharkspage.com and see if that link is still active, and it's definitely worth it, dude.
Or find a friend and go and watch it over there, because it's great. Dude, what do we want to do next? We want to do some emails.
Sure.
Okay, Let's do some emails. Questions at dudesonhockey.com, of course, is the email address. Let's see. From Jim from Section 202, he has a stupid trade.
Okay.
He said, Doug Stolhan of Puck Podcast proposed a trade between Florida and San Jose that he thought would benefit both teams. Mr. Stolhan felt that the Panthers need to get something for Thomas Vokoun before he leaves, and the Sharks' woes stem not from defense but goaltending. Therefore, the, quote, equitable trade of Vokoun for Niemi and Klo was put forth. That's right, a couple of months of Vokoun for Niemi and maybe the Sharks' best forward this year, who is still signed for two more years beyond this one. After exclaiming to my iPod, no fudging way, only he didn't say fudge, I think Jim has also watched some Bruce Boudreau clips. Mm-hmm. Two thoughts came to mind. One, Devin Setoguchi is no longer enough to land an impact player in a trade. His stock has fallen too far. And the reality will take Chloe Pavelski with Couture being untouchable. Two, maybe a trade for an elite goalie could better mask the defensive shortcomings of a team that number of the team than a number one or two D-man. A friend and I tussled with this question. What do you think? 60 minutes of excellent goaltending, robbing shooters of sure goals, or 20 to 25 minutes of stifling defense, along with the ability to start the rush? So, first of all, dude, what do you think of this proposed trade? Is it as ridiculous as Jim says it is?
I don't think that I wouldn't do it.
Right.
But I think that the price is probably accurate.
Yes. I think that's what Florida would ask for. That's what Florida would want.
So I don't think that the idea of it is ridiculous, but I do think that if the Sharks did that, we would be... This Ryan Klo's having the best year of his career.
Yeah, no doubt.
There's no doubt about it. And we know that he's streaky. Mm-hmm. And it's possible he could disappear for weeks tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that. But we haven't seen that in a long time. He's been mm-hmm. really, really good and has been playing a really complete brand of hockey and has seemed to risen to another level playing with Logan Couture.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I'm not interested in trading Ryan Klo, period,
right
now.
Right.
But the question is, dude, hypothetically, you know, would you want Vokoun if the package was Niemi and something more tolerable? Is that the difference? Do you think the goalie is the problem here? Because that's what we're getting to here.
Yeah, that's what we're getting
to. Is it the goalie or is it the D?
Or would it help us more to have a better goalie rather than another D?
Right. And then the Setoguchi is part two, and we'll get to that in a second.
You know, I'm not seeing a huge number of problems with our goaltending lately. You know, I'm not seeing a bunch of soft goals. We saw some weird stuff from Niemi early in the year. We see some rust from Ninamaki here and there. But you know what? I think what the NHL, what's sort of in vogue for the NHL, and I think I've drunk the Kool-Aid a little bit on this deal, is that the difference between the best goaltender in the league and the worst is much smaller than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see guys like Michael Layton take the Flyers to the playoffs and to the Stanley Cup Finals, and you see guys like Jimmy Howard, who, to be honest, spent quite a bit of time in the minor leagues before he really had a chance to replace Chris Osgood, who really wasn't a... elite goaltender to begin with ever in his career. I mean, sure, he won cups with Detroit and he deserves a lot of credit for that, but no one would ever put him in the same breath as Dominic Hasek or right. Roberto Luongo. So we're talking about a position that right now there seems to be a lot of parity. So still, I'm still on the defensive bandwagon. I still think we need a D much more than we need a goalie. I'm perfectly happy with the way Ninamaki and Niemi are playing right now. And going and getting Vokoun and giving up real value, which I'm sure is what Florida wants. I mean, he's really one of their own only pieces they have to trade. I'd be much more interested in Brian McCabe than I would Tomas Vokoun at this point.
Absolutely.
So that's just my feeling on that score.
Because, let's get to part two here.
Yeah, with Seto.
Seto, you know, Sharks page again. Mm-hmm. You know, we love to plug the Sharks page.
We do.
They're a friend of the podcast. They had a great interview posted with Lyle Richardson this
week. I did
read
that, yeah.
And they talk about Devin Setoguchi and, you know, Spectre thinks that Seto still has trade value. Mm-hmm. He says, I think Setoguchi would still have a considerable trade value, especially as we get closer to the deadline. As you said, he is young and only a couple of seasons removed from 30 goals. I mean, so
right.
Maybe people still aren't as down on Seto, especially a team like Florida,
right?
Who it's not like they've got.
Yeah, I mean they traded David Booth and
a ton of other offensive options here,
right? Right.
You know, to be able to get Seto and maybe build around a guy who was 23. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might be worth it, but I don't think Vokoun is the droid we're looking for, dude.
No, I don't. I don't think that's
but
right.
But Brian McCabe.
Brian McCabe may be the droid we're looking for.
Very expensive.
Yeah, and but Seto, I think you know the fans. Feeling about certain players really goes up and down quickly. Certainly we watch every game, you know, it's sort of, we have a real fine microscope on everything that's going on. And I'm sure, you know, GMs around the league are keeping tabs on all the players around the league and trying to figure out what's going on. They're probably not as swayed as much as we are about, you know, a 7-game pointless streak by Devin Setoguchi. It's like, oh, forget Setoguchi hasn't scored the last 7 games, where, you know, fans who only watch Sharks games really care a lot about the Sharks. They see Seto not trying hard or not looking good. And we say, there goes his trade value. He's worthless now. You know, I mean, the fact is the guy's got a real scoring touch. He scored 2 in Dallas. I mean, you know, he was injured. So, yeah, I think he's still very much alive as a trade piece. If the Sharks want to go that way, I'm not sure they will. So, thanks for the email, Jim. Oh, here's PS. Would you do a sign and trade of Shea Weber 3 years or more for Couture?
No.
Really?
No.
You wouldn't? New poll question, because I would totally do that.
No way.
Shea Weber, dude? He's 25 years old. He's in the prime of his career.
Logan Couture right now is not just the runaway winner of the Calder. He is third in the entire NHL in goals, dude. No. No way.
Two words, Andrew Raycroft.
Dude. This,
Andrew
this
Raycroft,
kid,
dude.
This kid is special, dude.
I'm not saying he's not special.
No, I wouldn't do it.
Really?
No,
wow.
I wouldn't do it.
I think
you could do not, you wouldn't be able to do better, but you can still do well with a different package. And Couture is the present and the future, dude. I say no.
Call me crazy, but I would trade Couture for a starting defenseman on the Canadian Olympic team. Call me crazy.
All right. Well, you know, you don't think it's possible that Couture will be a member of that Canadian Olympic team
in
the next
three
or 7 years, dude?
I think it's absolutely possible. It's also possible that he'll go down and suck next year. I mean, you see these guys really go up and down early in their career. I'm not saying Couture is going to do that, but it's 1 year. We've seen the kid play for 50 games in his career right now. We know Shea Weber is a stud defenseman. I would take that known over Couture's unknown right now. New poll question though.
Okay.
We're moving on.
You want to give away the Sharks' favorite son? That's fine, dude.
For Shea Weber,
you're like the Grinch of Sharks fans,
dude.
Look
Shea
at
Weber.
You are like a bear pooping in the woods right now,
dude,
on Sharks fans.
Dude, I am not doing that. It's not like I'm saying we should trade Logan Couture for Wayne Primo here.
Okay, speaking of pooping in the woods, I see what you have brought up here.
Yes.
It's gonna be Australian accent off, dude. Are you ready? Have Aussie you been off. Practicing?
No, not at all. I actually thought about it during the week too. I'm like, maybe I should like find some clips on YouTube of people speaking in Australian accents and try to, yeah, that just fell out of my head. So Anthony from actually Australia emailed us, gave us some tips. We should have an Aussie speak off. Why not ask the Aussie who's listened to every one of your podcasts, which is impressive. We need to master the Aussie slang, he says. We can't just say something normal. So he gives us this phrase.
What is it?
It says, "Struth, mate, I just couldn't get me arse around your place because I was flat out like a lizard drinking." So I have no idea what that means. Well, I have an idea what that means, but that's certainly a collection of words I would never put in that particular order. So I think it's time for us to have a terrible Aussie off, and I can almost hear Anthony laughing right now, even though we haven't even said anything yet. Dude, do you want to go first? You are the actor.
Let me do some warm-ups here.
La, 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 la.
Me. All right. Okay. Let's see. I've got to find it here. Struth, mate, I just couldn't get me arse around your place because I was flat out like a lizard drinking.
Dude, that accent was terrible.
Okay, here we go.
Oh. All right. That wasn't it?
All right, here we go.
Okay.
I'm going to warm up. That's not a knife. This is a knife. All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Struth, mate. I couldn't get me ass round your place because I was flat out like a lizard drinking, mate.
That was bad. Actually, it was bad. It's going to be worse. Okay, ready? I'm sure it's going to end up being sounding like I'm Italian or something.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
It's your turn, dude.
I got to go?
Okay, here we go.
Struth, man, I just couldn't get me ass around your place because I was flat out like a lizard drinking. God, that's awful.
That's the new poll question. Who was better?
Dude, I don't think there's any winners here. There's no winners in the Aussie off. It's everybody's a loser.
Who's better, me or the guy who wants to trade Couture?
Yeah, I guess we can do.
No,
I don't know if we can do.
I don't want to know.
All right, he does have a hockey question.
Okay,
he says, "What's up with Nick Petrecki?" Basically,
okay,
what's up with Nick Petrecki, dude?
That's a fair question.
Yeah,
Nick Petrecki. I did a little research here. We haven't heard a lot about what's going on with Petrecki. Wisher's kind of been, I mean, medium this year. They don't have, they're not having all the success that they were having last year, dude. Yeah. But here is,
well, without Ferry on Couture, it's a little hard.
He's played 31 games. Mm-hmm. He's got 3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points, -8, 71 penalty minutes, 47 shots. The good news is it appears like he's playing every day, mm-hmm. right? Which mm-hmm. was not what was going on last year.
Right.
He's second on the team in shots for defensemen, which means that, you know, he is
Getting looks,
getting pucks through.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
He's first on the team in penalty minutes, which is another thing that I think we're interested in seeing him kind of in that Kyle MacLaren, Brian Marchment type of mode here. Although he's worst in defenseman in plus minus.
Yeah.
But it's not horrid. It's -8 is not good.
Is it higher or lower than Chichu's?
It's lower.
Okay.
It's lower. It looks like he's playing second unit power play in shorthanded time. So if we're looking for improvement, I would say yes, there's been improvement. But is he ready to come to the NHL?
No.
No, mate. I've been drinking Kate.
Flat out like a lizard drinking.
I'm flat out like
lizard drinking. I think we need a shirt. Okay. Do we have...
So the Petrecki update is just that, dude. The other two players, young players that I want to talk about really quickly with the World Juniors starting while we're away, is it looks like the Sharks are going to have two guys.
Charlie Coyle?
Charlie Coyle is not for sure on the team, but he's in camp right now.
Okay.
Certainly hopeful that he's going to make that team. He's having a good year for Boston University, 14 points, 16 penalty minutes in 17 games. He's 6'2", 207 at 18 years old, which is exciting.
That's big.
I hope he makes the team, dude. I really want to see him play at that level of competition.
I was like 5'10", 110 when I was 18.
What do you mean then? You still are, dude.
No, I'm not.
You still are.
I'm 5'10", 115 now.
We've got Carl Abdelhauser is playing for the German.
No German off, please.
He's playing for the German team, and he's having a season at Halifax Mooseheads in the QMJHL.
Mm-hmm. That's Quebec Major Junior.
13 points, 22 minutes, and 32 games. It'll be interesting to see him play against some elite competition. So those are two players for Sharks fans to keep an eye on if you're interested in watching the World Juniors, which is entertaining once it starts to get to the later rounds.
Mm-hmm. But, usually in the early rounds, you see Canada beat up on the lesser countries like
Germany.
Yeah, like Germany, 18-0 or something.
So,
all right, dude, we have a email from Danny. I can't take credit for this as my buddy's jersey, but I thought you'd get a kick out of it. It's an actual Sharks jersey, number 7, that says hamburgers.
Dude, this has to go up on the blog.
I will put this on the blog.
Okay.
Yeah.
I commend you, Daniel, and
your friend.
And your friend for having the guts to go for it with this hamburgers jersey. I wish I was that brave.
And I wish the podcast was the driver behind this decision. I'm not sure that's the case. I've actually inquired to see if that's the case. Haven't heard back yet. I'd like to hear to see if we have carried the water for hamburgers number 7.
Yeah, where did the hamburgers jersey come from? We did get someone last year sent us an email of a homemade hamburgers like jersey logo.
Yeah, that was cool.
So the hamburgers jersey's out there.
Yeah, it's real.
It's exciting.
It's an internet meme,
dude. It's almost Christmas.
It is almost Christmas, dude. And every year we do Christmas wishes,
right?
So we have some We have some Christmas wishes, dude. Are we doing serious wishes this year? Or are we just doing like goofy wishes?
My wishes are always serious, dude.
Okay, good, because mine are too.
Do we have Christmas music, dude?
Let me see if I can find some. Why don't you go with your first wish, and I'll see if I can find some music here.
Instead of going with my first wish, I'd like to do another Australian.
Another Australian accent? Mm. Are you sure?
I don't really think the kings are done, mate. Click as everybody just turns off the podcast.
Dude, I don't think I have.
You don't have it?
I have. No, I don't. I'm sorry, dude.
How about the rooster?
I do have the rooster.
Awesome. Okay. All right, dude. Here we go.
Okay. Wait, hold on.
All the way to San Jose. This is Christmassy.
It's close. All right. Go ahead.
Dear Santa.
Yeah.
When I come downstairs on Christmas morning and notice that you've eaten all the Lorna Doones, you fat pig. I'm hoping to see a giant red and white box bursting with a 6'3" Finnish defenseman named Joni Pekkanen.
Oh, I see. Yes.
I would like Joni Pekkanen for Christmas, dude.
Yeah, that's my number one wish. I wasn't as specific as Joni Pekkanen, but I can certainly get on that bandwagon, dude. But first, I'm not only, since it is the season of giving, I'm not only looking for gifts for myself, I'm also looking for gifts for others. First on that list, some smelling salts for Patrick Marleau. Jeez, he's got 3 points in December, no goals. I mean, come on, man. Smelling salts. Get the kid going again. He looked okay tonight. Looked okay.
Yeah.
Patrick Marleau, though, he needs to get something going here because he's really sort of dropping off the radar at this point.
Oh, maybe we don't need him.
Oh, God.
Trade him for Vokun.
Yeah.
How about him for Shea Weber?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
All right. Dear Rotund Bringer of Joy, also known as Santa, for Christmas this year, I'm hoping the hockey gods will allow us a favorable first round matchup somewhere along the lines of Nashville or Columbus. I know that you'll make the Canucks draw the Blackhawks. I just know you will. So do the Sharks a solid, Santa. It's their turn to catch a break.
That's right.
Don't you think, dude?
Yes, that's good.
Don't you think we deserve a nice first round matchup this year?
Yes.
We think we thought we had it last year, and we ended up not having it at all.
Right, right.
But Nashville? I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take that too. I mean, they play a tough, tight checking game, but I still like our chances, as I always have.
History against the Predators in the playoffs shines in our favor, dude.
Absolutely.
It's your turn.
Dude, I have another gift for someone else. I'm looking for a mustache trimmer for Ryan Clough, because that thing is an abomination.
I think you don't like it?
No. No, I don't.
That's one of the best things on the HBO series is the mustache boy thing that the Penguins do.
I really do like that.
That was awesome.
It made me wonder if maybe Ryan Clough lost some sort of bet because that mustache is really not attractive. Or maybe it's like that House episode where like the really good-looking guy tries to make himself really unattractive, and that's like Ryan Clough. He's like, I can be a professional athlete, make $4 million a year, and I'm going to grow this ridiculous mustache and still see if I can still get chicks.
Yeah, I wonder. See, someone asked me tonight if I thought that the Sharks would ever get to play in a Winter Classic. And I said, probably their best shot would be if the Blackhawks and Sharks continued to have some sort of rivalry and maybe we end up there. Although I would think if it's going to be that, it's always going to be Detroit. And probably their best shot might be playing in Colorado. But I doubt that they're going to let a game happen there just because the weather is just so unpredictable and might just be too difficult to.
I think the Sharks will have to build some sort of dynasty, some sort of history in the league as a great team, or have a star like Crosby. I mean, if Logan Couture turns out to be some sort of star, but you know what? I can't see a Tampa Bay getting into a Winter Classic anytime soon.
Don't we have a star?
Even though Steven Stamkos.
Joe Thornton?
We do. But I mean, we're going to need like the super, superstar, like best in the league, no question, the way.
What about a Winter Classic between Tampa Bay and Dallas?
Yeah.
It's like that 85 degrees outside.
On like that near ice stuff. It's not even on real ice. It's like you can buy like weird like tiles of stuff that's supposed to be like, act like ice.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Be pretty impressive.
Awesome. All right, dude.
All right.
My last wish.
Okay.
Happy holidays, Santa. There's one last thing I want for Christmas, dude. I'm still hopeful that we will see in the team's 20th year celebration for a final playoff run after we make a deal. It's time to bring back Owen Nolan.
Yeah.
Owen Nolan would make me, and I know the fans would go crazy.
Yeah.
If Owen Nolan ended up on this team somewhere around the trade deadline, Boucher style, and joined them for the final party, dude.
That would be fun. That would be fun to see him take a last turn with the Sharks. I would appreciate that. And of course, as always, Santa, we would like a Stanley Cup. Yeah, that would be the number one wish. Well, dude, it's been a wonderful season of holiday cheer. It's been a good little run here for the Sharks. And I certainly encourage our listeners to pick an episode in the back catalog and listen to it next week. If you miss us, because we unfortunately will not be around, but we will be back the following week with a full report of us at the Garden.
That's right.
Rangers versus Islanders. And of course, we would never miss a Sharks game.
I'll be going to Mississippi River Kings game again when I'm in Mississippi for the new year, dude. So
nice.
I'll be commenting on the CHL as well.
Wow.
Dude, I'm keeping it real. Even when I'm in the deep south,
you're going.
I still go to hockey.
Yeah.
I still go to hockey.
And I think if I remember properly, there's a epic brawl between the River Kings
Shreveport Mudbugs.
Yeah,
that's
and the
right.
Mudbugs.
So that's who they're playing. There's some bad blood.
There's some real
bad
blood.
Yeah, I can't wait.
We could see another epic brawl, so look on YouTube for that brawl, because it's a doozy. Well, dude, Merry Christmas to you.
Happy holidays, dude. I'll see you on that red-eye flight.
See you then, dude.
Later.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.